o'clock. As seated at 4 o'clock, we will call this meeting of the Story County Board of, Board of Adjustments to order. Roll call vote, please.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Youngberg, absent. Neubauer.
Here.
All right, Board. In front of you, you've got the agenda for today's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to that agenda? If not, we will accept the agenda as presented. Also in front of you are minutes from the two previous meetings, one on 6/20 of 18 and one on 8/19 of 18. Do I hear any additions or changes to those minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
We have a motion out of Brecky. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second out of Navarre. So, motion all in favor of acceptance, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The minutes are accepted. A little bit of a rundown on how this meeting is going to work. If you haven't, please sign in when you came into the meeting. If we will open it up for a public comment on anything prior to the listening other than the case that we have in front of us, and we'll take any comments then. If you do wish to make any comments when you approach, please approach the podium and give your name and address. Hearing none, if not, then we will move into our the items we have on our list. So with that note, are there any public comments anyone would like to make? Hearing none, we'll move into our agenda item. And the first one on it is variance VAR 0318, Williams Variance Request. Amelia.
Yeah. This is on 19665 Winchester, which is in the unincorporated village of Fernald. It's a 0.72 net acre parcel zoned R1 transitional residential. It has a single family dwelling and accessory structures. And the C2C plan, our future land use plan, is that okay? Also designates it as a rural village area. Yeah? Okay. I think we're good on the volume now. Yeah? Okay. the variance request is specifically a variance of 39 feet and 10 and 4/5 of an inch to our front setback requirements in that R1 zoning district. The front setback requirement is 40 feet, and that is for a 22-foot by 22-foot canopy on the east or front side of the dwelling. There is also a request for a 5-foot and 1-inch variance to the side setbacks for dwellings in the R1 district. The side setback is 10 feet. That's required, and that is for a 12 by 24-foot canopy on the south side of the dwelling. And there's also an 11-inch variance requested to the side setbacks for a 15 by 17-foot addition on the south side of the dwelling. This is a sketch that the property owner helped us with to give you a better idea of what the requests were for. We appreciate their help on that. So this is based on the assessor's sketch available on Beacon as well. So this is the addition. You can see on the interior's 16, the exterior is approximately 17 according to the assessor by 15. This is the metal canopy on the side of the dwelling, and this is the metal canopy on the front of the dwelling. This is an existing garage that we'll also be discussing, so just wanted to point that out. And then this is the original dwelling. Mm-hmm. So this is what it looks like in an aerial image. And the property owner had a survey done as well to establish if the canopy structure and garage were in the right-of-way or not. The existing garage that is not part of this variance request, for a couple of reasons, is located in the right-of-way. The canopy was located in the right-of-way. Its support posts were, and there is still an eave that encroaches. The property owner did move the support posts back, and that's the survey that you see here. So you can see on one side it's 0.1 foot to the property line from the support post, and then down here to the south it's 0.3 feet to the property line or right-of-way line. This dwelling was built in 1890, which is prior to our adoption of zoning. When it was built, it had a legal non-conforming setback of approximately 20 feet. That includes an addition on the front of the home, an addition besides the canopy, that appears to be added likely prior to zoning, and it encloses the front door to provide a sheltered access to the dwelling. The dwelling also had a side setback of approximately 20 feet prior to the addition being made and the canopy's construction on the side of the dwelling. So for non-conforming structures, you can alter or enlarge those structures so as long as the alteration or enlargement does not further encroach onto the required setbacks. So you could make additions in line with those setbacks, but not further than those established setbacks when you have something that's been built prior to zoning. Regarding the detached garage, again, this is an existing garage that encroaches on the right-of-way, and it also has an approximate 3-foot side setback. Again, this garage is not part of the variance request, but it is important to consider due to its location compared to these improvements that are part of the variance request. The assessor's records list this garage, its construction date, as old. Its exact date is hard to determine because of the quality of the aerial imagery available. You can see it there in the 1980s. It's questionable if it's a shadow or what's there, but we know that the property owner didn't construct it, likely construct it prior to zoning. And through communication with the county attorney and county engineer's office, staff determined that no action on the garage's encroachment was on the right-of-way was required at this time. However, it is important to note that the county is not granting any property rights or ownership rights to the right-of-way by acknowledging that it is there and permitting, likely for the time being, for it to remain. The property owner indicated that the canopies were constructed approximately 7 to 8 years ago, as was the addition. They provide cover over a patio area, and the addition also provides additional living space in the dwelling. We became aware of this encroachment when the property owner applied for a permit to construct an accessory structure. At that point, we indicated that if the variance could be requested for the canopy's encroachment if it wasn't located in the right-of-way, and so that's when the property owner moved it back after the survey. And then once a variance application was submitted, we issued the preliminary permit for that accessory structure on the property. Initially, regarding the additions on the side of the dwelling, there was an error on the assessor's website beacon that showed that that had been constructed in 1975, and there is an error you'll kind of see with how the imagery lines up with the property lines as well that shows that it may meet the side setback. But based on the measurements that the property owner made and then reviewing aerial images, we determined that the 1975 construction date was incorrect, that those were actually made more recently and should be part of the variance request. So the property owner did send us the setbacks, and he based on the property pins, they pulled the line for those improvements, and those were included then. So those are the second and third requests, part of the variance request, the addition on the side and the canopy on the side of the dwelling. The subject property, again, is located in Fernald. It's a rural village designation in our C2C future land use plan, which is an existing developed area, platted at urban level densities, similar to incorporated towns. It has a lot of older housing stock because it was platted at the turn of the century in the 1900s. And then an opportunity exists for these areas to become vital places that serve social, economic, and cultural needs of areas' residences. So again, this was platted in the early 1900s. Many of their original structures were built with reduced setbacks based on this urban density level platting. I've highlighted Nevada is located here to the south, south and west of Fernald, which is approximately located here. I tried to highlight some of the properties. And then this is a closer view, and this is the subject property in the southern portion of Fernald. When the county adopted zoning in 1958, Fernald was zoned in several different zoning districts. This map here shows the 1958 zoning of Fernald. There was R2 residential area. There was commercial area as well. And then in 1977, the county actually downzoned the residential areas from R2 to R1. And so downzoning is what the term we use when you're at a higher density zoning district permitted, and then it's rezoned to a lower density district, essentially. In 1977, there was a commercial area in the center of Fernald, which contained several actual residential uses and residences, houses, buildings that are commercial converted to housing. And those properties were rezoned to R1 residential in 97 as well. In the staff report on those rezonings, I think it's interesting that an alternative option to the rezonings was to create a custom zoning district for Fernald, because we do have so many different setbacks in Fernald. That wasn't the option that was taken. The R1 residential rezoning was instead taken by the Board of Supervisors. So you can see that's the zoning district in yellow here that exists today. On Winchester Avenue, south of Richland Street, which is where the subject property is located, 6 of the 7 existing dwellings have non-conforming setbacks. Those are 10 to 20 feet from the Winchester Avenue right-of-way, just based on aerial imagery, so it's approximation. There are also several property owners that have made additions on the front of their homes that appear to further encroach on the required setbacks. So this isn't really a unique situation. There are other additions that have been made, including porches and accessory structures on properties as well. You know, based on just additions to dwellings that we observed looking at this case, there are no severe or noticeable encroachments on required setbacks, but in terms of accessory structures, there are some that appear to encroach on rear and side setback requirements. The average gross living area of the dwellings located on Winchester and south of Richland Street is 14,095 square feet. They range from about 1,200 square feet to 2,000 square feet. The subject property is 1,278 square feet, and that includes the 255 square foot addition that was made that is part of this variance request. Surrounding land use, you can see there's a parcel to the north that contains a dwelling constructed in 1919 with a pretty close setback to the property line. To the south, you have a dwelling constructed in 1900, again with an approximate 10-foot side setback. You do have a house more recently constructed across the street to the east that does have a conforming approximately 90-foot setback. And there is an active railroad right-of-way to the west of the subject property. And these are some site photos. So this is looking at the canopy on the front of the dwelling and the garage. This is the existing garage. This is looking west at the canopy. This is looking southwest in the garage. And you can see the dwelling located to the south here. There's a separation distance of approximately 60 feet between that dwelling and this dwelling. This is looking west on the side yard and the garage, and you can kind of see the canopy addition over here. There is a fence located in front of the canopy addition that you can see here. So this is looking east. Winchester Avenue is where I'm pointing to with the laser pointer to the east here. And this is the side of the addition that the variance request is for as well. You can see that it is set back further than the canopy, and the canopy is approximately in line with the eave of this existing garage. And then this is looking northeast on the addition. That's part of the variance request. For a variance to be granted, all legal principles set out in our Story County Land Development Regulations shall be met. The first one is that a finding of unnecessary hardship shall be made, and that's three different points that need to be met, including that without the variance, the property cannot yield a reasonable return, the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances, and the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. The other standards involve being in accordance with our comprehensive plan and protecting the public interest. Actually, I'll go back to this slide. On these principles, staff has found that for the addition, the request for the addition that's been made to the dwelling, all are met. So we're recommending approval. I thought I should go through the recommendations now because there are a lot of different facets to this one. For the variance requests for the canopies, staff has concluded that all principles are met, but the first principle of the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. And so because staff concluded not all of the principles are met, we did recommend denial of the canopies variance, both canopies. And so getting into what the finding of a necessary hardship and specifically reasonable return involves, this principle asks the board to consider if, without a variance, the property owner cannot establish any beneficial use on their property. So it is a difficult standard to meet. Reasonable return has been established on the property. There is an existing single-family dwelling that's permitted without the variance. However, in the case of the addition on the south side of the dwelling, staff finds that the board may conclude that since without the variance, demolition may be required of that addition, that's a significant hardship that would affect the potential livability of the dwelling. That addition adds additional square footage that makes the dwelling closer in size to dwellings on its neighboring properties. And so we found that just for the addition, the board may find this principle met. Regarding the request for the canopies, I think what this really gets down to is that are the canopies essential to getting a return on the property, having a dwelling on the property? However, I do want to note that the property owner has incurred costs of the survey of the property. They've moved the canopy support posts off the right-of-way, so that took time as well. So they have incurred costs, and there would be removal costs included as well if these were removed from the dwelling. The concrete patios under the canopies would not be required to be removed, so it wouldn't be the cost of tearing up the concrete so much as removing the structures themselves. There are alternatives to removal, for the south side, the canopy on the south side. And, these alternatives are only if the property owners consent it and would be willing to incur these additional costs that may be involved. So these are just ideas of potential solutions. Maybe adjusting the parcel line with the property to the south so that the setback would be met. Perhaps reducing the size of the canopy located on the south side by the 5 foot 1 inch that encroaches on the variance, so you'd have an approximately 6 to 7 foot patio overhang there instead of a 12 foot. And staff did look at the site. It does appear that these aren't connected; they're freestanding. So perhaps they could be moved to the north side of the house or the west side of the house, where they wouldn't encroach on setbacks. If the board does make a finding and comes up with why this legal principle of reasonable return is met for the canopies, we would recommend additional conditions. Again, we're recommending denial of the variance for the canopies, but if you do come up with the reasoning for why this standard was met. You could impose additional conditions that if, for instance, the detached garage were removed, these were removed, or that when the property is sold, that there would be a sunset date on the variance, that they were removed when the property was sold. So those are options if you find this legal principle is met. Again, staff did not for the variance request for the canopies. The second principle is that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not general conditions of the neighborhood. There is a unique circumstance on this property. There's an existing garage that is non-conforming side setback, encroaches on the right-of-way. Again, no action on the garage's encroachment is currently required, and it appears that the property owner attempted to match the existing setback of that garage when they were constructing these. The addition on the south side of the dwelling even has a greater setback than that garage that would remain if the variances were not granted. The general condition of the neighborhood is non-conforming. There's many dwellings that encroach on this required setback of 40 feet in the R1 district. And in 1997, we did have that rezoning where an alternative to this R1 residential district was to create, you know, a unique zoning district for Fernald. The board must also consider, however, that the property owner didn't get a permit in constructing these, so that is due to their own actions and not necessarily the ordinance. However, we have begun to do outreach efforts in Fernald the last year or so, and one of the pieces was we had public meetings where we talked about permitting requirements, so that's something to consider that we, after these were done, we did go in and try to talk about permitting requirements. So that's to the benefit of the property owner. I think, you know, we recognized we had to do more outreach efforts in that area. Right, that's what I'm saying. But these projects were before we did that extra outreach work. The next principle is that the use authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. As previously established, there's no one uniform setback in Fernald. And so granting of the variance may set precedent for future variances to permit these nonconformities if they were constructed after zoning without the proper permits and do require variances. Potential impacts that may alter the essential character of the locality could be on the dwelling to the south. However, staff finds that that's a 60-foot separation distance. That's three times what would be required if the 10-foot side setback was met by both properties. So it's larger than is required, really. And specifically regarding the addition, the setback is only 11 inches less than what is required. And so the encroachment of the addition is really not noticeable. Additional impacts could be on users of Winchester Avenue, to the folks that live to the south of the area. However, staff finds that there's four property owners with three dwellings that may take access from Winchester Avenue to the south of the subject property. The road does dead end south of this subject property. And so if the requests were denied, the existing garage would remain. That encroaches on the right-of-way, so any impacts would likely remain as well. And so we have concluded that the essential character of the locality will not be altered given the other nonconformities, including the existing garage and the separation of this dwelling from the limited number of other nearby dwellings. The next standard that's required to be met is that the granting of the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. The public interest in enforcing setbacks is to maintain sufficient building separation, uniform building location, light and air between buildings, separation from the roadway for safety, but also access. The county engineer was involved in the review of this request, and it concluded that the variance request to permit the canopy in the front yard would not inhibit traffic. The improvements on the south side of the dwelling have a 60-foot separation distance, approximately, from the dwelling to the south. The improvements do not encroach further than the garage, which encroaches on the right-of-way and has a 3-foot setback. We did contact the water provider about the location of the water line in Fernald. That is in the right-of-way and is not encroached upon by these improvements. And the utility lines in Fernald are overhead, so you can see that they aren't encroached upon. And another note on this is that the right-of-way is actually 70 feet in width. Typically, you'd see a 66-foot width right-of-way, so that might give you an additional 2 feet wider than normal on that side of the right-of-way. The dwelling is approximately 22 feet from the road edge. So based on these facts, staff concludes that this principle has been met for the requests. And our final standard is that that the intent of the Story County Development Plan, which is our C2C future land use plan, and land development regulations are protected. These have similar intents. So the R1 district is to provide a district for single-family detached dwellings between a rural and an urban density. The C2C plan similarly has goals to allow compatible residential development with natural areas and agricultural areas. Specifically for our unincorporated villages such as Fernald, there are principles to continue to promote improvements and reinvestments in the area and support efforts to seek grants or other funding for redevelopment and revitalization. You know, based on this, we conclude that the standard's met. You know, the proposed variance would not allow for denser residential development necessarily. It's not a variance to reduce lot sizes. And it does meet C2C plan principles to encourage improvements and reinvestments in this area. These are improvements on an existing dwelling. I also wanted to note that we, in our non-conforming use provisions, so that the provisions that apply to legal non-conforming uses, such as a dwelling built before zoning, the intent of those is to allow alteration and enlargements of such uses so long as they don't further encroach on the required setback. Again, in this case, there is an existing dwelling, and that's really what this section is asking us to look at. So you couldn't build something that encroached further than the setback of that dwelling. However, in this case, we have that existing garage. And so really, I think the intent of this section is also met because these improvements don't encroach further than that existing garage, even though this provision isn't necessarily applicable. I think the intent is definitely met. We did route this to our interagency review team. Again, the engineer's office indicated they supported the variance request for the canopy that encroaches on the right-of-way. The Environmental Health Department also reached out to the property owner to make sure a well was plugged and had some notes that there was no septic diagram on file, however. We also mailed letters to surrounding property owners within a quarter mile, and we did have one property owner call with questions and one also provide an email supporting the request. So in summary, just a few points to consider as we get into the recommendations here. The demolition of the addition would be a significant hardship, and so the principle of reasonable return is met for that request. There is an existing garage with a non-conforming side and front setback that encroaches on the right-of-way. That would be permitted to remain even if the variances were denied. And the property owner appears to have maintained the garage setbacks with these additions and improvements. There do appear to be alternatives if the property owner agreed to the alternatives to the removal of the canopies completely from the property. You know, you could maybe acquire more property to kind of a swap from the parcel to the south. Perhaps the canopies could be moved to another side of the dwelling, or the one to the south could be reduced in size to meet setbacks. After these improvements were built, the county did begin outreach efforts in Fernald, as part of our work program. So again, after they were built, we did outreach that involved permitting requirements. The general condition of the neighborhood is nonconforming. There are many dwellings that encroach on the required setback. And then the county engineer doesn't have an issue with the canopy in the right-of-way. There's a large separation distance from the dwelling to the south. And this variance request is in line with our C2C plan principles to encourage improvement and reinvestment in rural villages. So there's three separate actions that you can take tonight on each variance request. The first one, again, is for the addition. That's an 11-inch variance to the required 10-foot side setback for that addition. We do recommend approval. So alternative one. The second request is for the canopy on the front of the dwelling. So that is a 39-foot and some inches request to the required 40-foot front setback. And so we do recommend denial of that because it does not meet the principle of reasonable return. However, if the board concluded and found facts related to why that principle was met, we do recommend conditions such as removing or relocating those canopies upon the sale of the property or removal of the existing garage. And then this is a similar recommendation for the canopy on the side of the dwelling, which requires a 5-foot, 1-inch variance to the required 10-foot side setbacks. So again, staff recommends denial because of the reasonable return principle. But if you did find that that was met, we do recommend some additional conditions. So any questions for staff?
Board, questions for staff?
Do I have a comment on my plate?
Sure. We will give you a moment here, please. Let's ask our staff first. Any other comments? Questions for the staff? Okay. Speaking for the applicant. Yes. You come to the podium, please.
Hi, we're Mike and Kate Williams. I'll let my husband speak first, and then I'll...
First of all, it all started off when I thought I was doing the right thing by getting a permit. And it's been total chaos, and I've been totally confused the whole time through. I've been told one thing, and then next week it's something totally different throughout this whole ordeal. I didn't put any of this stuff up to stir up any trouble. I went off the existing garage that's been there for 100 years on all my stuff. Nothing's past that old garage that's up there or anything. I re-sided it. It's nothing done to that. It was except for new siding on it since I moved there. I'm just confused at what's going on. I want to better myself, make things look nicer. And I kind of feel I'm getting the runaround really bad, and I just don't know what to do right at the moment. But I feel I've been lied to more than one time. You go and talk.
Suzanne, I have a couple things. Can I give to the board?
Sure.
To look? Okay. These are pictures I took of the property. I didn't realize. And I have something else too, but I want to. Do you want to go ahead first? Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know how many years ago it's been. I built a new garage. I got a permit for that. Mm-hmm. Nothing was ever said about the old garage that's in there and other things around my place.
It was July.
It's been 7 months all summer long that I asked for a permit to build a pole barn, a cold storage pole barn. Nothing but that.
When did you build the garage? Excuse me?
July of 2000.
July of 2000. Thank you.
Yeah.
And when did you move to the property?
Oh.
89?
Our oldest is 29 years ago, probably. Yeah. And it was a very old, dilapidated property. But do you want to say anything?
Not yet.
Okay. Did you have a chance to read my letter that I presented? I sent in to each. I might have sent it to the wrong people. I thought I went online and found the right people, but it's regarding the this issue basically precipitating. I think that all of us in Fernald will speak that we would like, in reality, a 40-foot setback in a town that was built in 1900 isn't reasonable, because 40-foot setback would be the back of our house, you know. And so, in all honesty, you know, most of us are pretty limited to those kind of things. So, anyway, I would like to start with, let me say, by thanking you for hearing our variance application. We pray that you will work with us and vote favorably on behalf of the issues in the Planning and Zoning Department has brought to your attention, hence brought before you for your review and approval. First and foremost, let me state that these encroachments have not been on purpose and or with intent of going against the planning and zoning of the county. We honestly did make these additions based upon the placement of the grandfathered in garage, and that sits to the far southeast part of the property. And my husband and I did have conversations wanting to get a survey done to find out exactly where our property's lines were. But however, at the time, several years ago, no one in Fernald had done a survey, and that would be a benchmark for our property to go from, which would make it cheaper. So it would have cost around $3,000 to have done that, so that's why we never have. We decided to do it this last spring due to the issues with this building permit, and someone else in town had several months prior gotten their property surveyed. Hence, it was cheaper for us to have gotten this done, which it was $1,500. We did spend that on the survey itself and trying legally to show that we had moved the east patio. We refer to it, and I guess I'm a little, maybe this is something that planning and zoning can clarify, because I'm not quite sure what the legal description of patio is and the legal description of canopy. Because to me, our living space is patio space. It's not just a canopy. You take the canopy away, and it might as well, the concrete might not as well be there. And pass off the right of way, so which costs an additional $564. So basically, at that time, CGA surveyor Joseph Snuffin, I've got an email here from him that he had spoke with Jerry, and I'll let you read that, and talked with Jerry personally to see what he needed to appease this request. And I have the email and stating that it did show compliance, and that is what Jerry said, and that is what this professional is saying, and it's documented. The east and south canopies provide shelter from the heat, and whatever term you want to use, canopy, patio, you know. And elements are very important living space to us as a family. You address the fact that it's not really, I don't know if it's a return on your investment. I don't quite understand all of your legalities and planning zoning lingo. So, you know, it's a part of our home, okay? And it's a very important part of our home. And like today, they provide a runoff, like this morning, from our foundation. Very well known that Fernald has really major water issues. And so we have an old cruddy basement, and we have concrete, and there was a reason we did that, and it was to get the runoff away from the house. Because we have lost a furnace, and we have lost a water heater, and which I'm sure they're not aware of, in the past 15 to 20 years. And if we don't have two sump pumps running, we would lose them again. And so the east canopy is our favorite spot to just sit and watch the hummingbirds, where we have multiple hummingbirds, probably 30 or 40 right now, that we sit and watch. It is living space for us, though planning and zoning says it's not. The south canopy provides shelter as well, as mentioned above, and provides the same shelter and runoff as the east canopy, along with additional privacy. I mean, you know, in respect to the neighbors to our south. They're wonderful people, Jacksons. But with that, you don't want to be sitting grilling looking at them. So that's why we put the fence up. And regarding, I do have an issue in the summary. It regards that we did not get an easement for the water. In the report, the staff report?
Oh, can I clarify that?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I called the water company to make sure that there weren't any issues, and this the water company took over the pipes.
Right.
And so they themselves do not have an easement. It's not like something you have to get with them. It's
right. But that was addressed in the report that I thought that it said that we didn't.
That the water company doesn't have one. Yeah.
And so, and regarding the documentation, what you just, what's just been proposed, we wouldn't, you know, hopefully, I guess I present to you, and it's a matter of perception, but is, you know, you're saying the canopy is, we're like 5 foot from Jackson's property there, and then the Far East is 11 inches, so that's very, but our property doesn't sit, once we've got it surveyed, it doesn't sit parallel to the property line, so it kind of angles up. And so, and, you know, the closest it is to is with the grandfathered garage. So I guess my question and to you is what is the legal definition of a patio, and what is the legal definition of a canopy? I mean, a canopy is inclusive of a patio, but it can't be by itself.
And,
you know,
and both my canopies or whatever you want to call them, none of it's attached to nothing. It's on the slab itself. It's not attached to my house or the garage or anything.
Right.
It's freestanding.
They sit about, and Mike, on top of that, he, you know, when we went in to request a permit, Amelia, you know, via Beacon saw that there was an issue. So Mike called Jerry. Jerry said, move it back. The farther the better. So Mike, that same day, went in, took at least 3 foot off the metal, took him all weekend. He tore it apart, put the front back on, moved the post back, and I felt like we needed to get documentation, you know, to show this because we just paid, you know,
$1,500
$1,500 to show that it was on the right of way. So I wanted to show that we had moved it back. So we paid an additional $584 to have that done, and I have documentation if I can give you this. This is,
and I also squared off the garage that's been there for however many years, mm-hmm. and measured back to the pin that they just put in the ground, went up the other side of the garage and measured back. I went home the day I talked to Jerry, and I took them posts out. I moved them back past the property line because I was told 35 feet from the center of the road, nothing to be on there. Mm-hmm. Now I hear it's 40 feet or whatever, but
I've got three copies if it helps. The email from CGA stating that he talked to Jerry, what Jerry said, and that it was in compliance with the variance. And so we thought we were good, and then last Friday or Thursday, I get a call stating that they want to add in. All that started this was the east side, okay? The east side with the biggest patio. And then at the last minute, I get a call from Planning and Zoning, and they want to add on to, they want to add the south side onto this variance. And quote unquote, it was to make this more simple. Yes, those were your words, quote unquote. And so, you know, I have a lot of email documentation. Never once was it mentioned about the south side of the property, ever.
No, it wasn't.
And I mean, I can get that for you. And so it's been a little beyond frustrating, to say the least. We thought we were doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And I'm going to be honest with you. In retrospect, we probably wouldn't have done it because this has just been, it's been very stressful. We have probably spent $3,000 on the patios. That doesn't include the concrete, and the concrete isn't an issue. So it's like, you know, we want to better our community, and I feel like we have been very misled. Because in the recommendation by Mr. Moore, he states that he does not approve the canopy. From day one, you have never said a word, and thank God I have the proof from CGA what you said to him. Because otherwise, you misled us. And
That is the truth, and I don't appreciate that. We were trying to do the right thing. And we want to do the right thing. We want to keep our property. We want to keep, I mean, we're not rich people. And I mean...
We appreciate your efforts.
Yeah, and we've been very frustrated with the process. Very frustrated with the process. And it has not been... I just feel, and Mike definitely does, that we have been very misled. And I have addressed that issue at a higher level. And so, that being said, I appreciate you hearing us.
Thank you. Okay, comments from the public. Counselor.
My name is Rick Atkinson. I moved to Pernal in 1973. My biggest issue with what you're talking about is not with Mike's property, it's the 40-foot setback. Number one, 40-foot setback. My yard is 125 foot. Front. Back. If I go 40-foot setback and build my house where there was a church in 1901, and I have 46, 47-foot house, back, how much is left? That's 90-foot. I don't get very much left. And now, because of the new septic system, we have to build a berm if we're going to sell. How wide the berm is going to have. So there's a lot of things there that I don't know have been taken into consideration. We didn't buy our house expecting all this kind of stuff. Mike and Fancher didn't either. That house they have was moved into the town from the country. Barb West, who lived there, told me that. She was a broker down to principal. Financial institution, her folks doing that house. Dale's house was there. Now you take a look at those. I don't want them to move in. They're all lined up about the same. Anywhere from 20 to 23 feet from that line. Not the center of the road, property. For some reason they did that. That's worked for years. I think before you make a decision on that, you should look at what's going on. The garage where Mike's house is. It's out there. Probably it's for Model A and Model T. There's another one at the north end of town. About the same location. Several of them throughout the county are put that way. There's a lot of properties out there that need improvement. Mike and Kay have made improvements to their constant, almost since they've been there. It's probably the nicest looking property when you drive by, which you have no reason to if you don't live out there or live down at that end of the street, to see the improvements that they made. But I think the majority of those who live out there like what they've done. But that 40-foot setback, I think you need to look at. You need to figure that out. Instead of measuring it all the time, trying to figure out who's what, maybe you need to make a different zone. There's a lot of wasted money out here in our county being spent on measuring stuff. And I can tell you where you can stand if you look at them and see if any damn one of them is worth it. Except for one of the 200-run mics. And then move across the street. And you can go to the corner and look the same.
But I think that before you go into enforcing all these rules that are confusing as hell, if you were sitting here, you need to look at some of those rules, like that 40-foot setback. That's basically it.
Thank you, sir.
City comments?
I'm Claudia Atkinson. I'm his wife. And what I'd like to say is this. When we find somebody in Fernald making improvements like the Williams has, you should be very happy. Because that doesn't happen a lot in that little community. We've lived there a long time, and sometimes our yard's not the best. But we do try, and we have made improvements, as have many people that have lived there and that still live there. But I believe this setback and all this rigmarole up here, you know, that's beyond me, is just impeding that. We want beautiful communities, don't we, Amelia? We want that. And I think that you're doing your job. But that job is harming people. It's not helping that community. Now, I'm not here to degrade the county. Now, I'm proud of my town. I'm proud of being born in Nevada, Iowa. I love it. And I'm not here to degrade the county one bit. But I'm telling you that things are just not as the paper tells you. That's not how people live. And you know that. If you live in Nevada, you see it in Nevada. If you're from Ames, you see it in Ames. It's not how people live. And we need to work to make it look nice. And they have done that. Now, the only time in the years that I've lived in that little community that we've seen the county was when they came out and pushed snow. For years. Way before Jerry was employed or Amelia, that's what the county did for that village. We appreciated it. We needed it. But not once did that setback impede where those houses are or those driveways at that time. You know, I've used a driveway for 40 years I can no longer use because one neighbor complained that I was on the setback or on the whatever you're calling it. Been my driveway for years. Now I can't use it because we made a law. One person complained. The whole town uses it because they don't have any place to park. We have no gutters. We have no streets. We don't have anything. We lived for years and years with big potholes in our streets because the county couldn't afford to fix it. You may have got a few complaints, but nobody raised a bunch of hell. And this is what we need. We need you to work with us. That 40 setback, I heard Amelia, I think, if I understood them right, that they could make different zonings. That if that's feasible, you could do that. Why aren't we doing that? Why are we wasting our time with this? Our houses aren't going to comply with that. It can't. Unless you want us to tear them down. So that's what I have to say. These people should get their variances. We should be able to improve our community. And if it's that 40-step back foot that's causing trouble, we need to get rid of it. Because all we need is somebody to push the snow and maintain the roads. That's what we need. Thank you.
Other comments?
My name is John Jackson. I own the property to the south of Williams's. And I think as far as the south side is concerned, it doesn't bother me at all. We have plenty of space in between the houses and nothing is encroaching on my property. So, and we've always got along just fine, and it has no effect on me, and it does add a lot to their house. I think especially the canopy on the front looks very nice, and he put a lot of work and effort into that, and it matches, and it looks very nice. So I don't have any issue with it at all, and I think they should be granted the variances. As a side note, just from sitting here and seeing, I guess, my property being looked at. and I guess what I got from that was I'm only like a 10-foot setback, and I have considered adding on to my house, and from what I'm understanding is that if I were to add on to my house, it would have to be 30 feet to the west from my house right now, which would probably not be in my house. So I can't do anything to it, I guess. So other than what's already there, I can't improve anything, or most of it is the add-on. It's a very small original house with multiple additions, and if I were to, I've considered tearing one off and making it bigger to add another bathroom, but it's on the front of the house, so that doesn't meet the setback, so I can't even do that. So it does seem ridiculous. But, as far as the improvements to their property, they look very nice and they add a lot. And I have no issue with it on my property. Thank you.
I'm Charlene Gerbel, and we live a couple of houses up from Mike's and Kay's. We've lived there for 53 years. And if you would consider what that house looked like when we moved in compared to what Mike and Kay have done to it, vastly improved everything. And then also you have to, they haven't taken into consideration, I wonder, down to the end of our property, the railroad has a 50-foot right-of-way that comes right up to the back of our garage at the moment. So we really are boxed in there. So, and if you had your right-of-way, your 40-foot setback, they'd be practically on the railroad. It just, the town is an old, old town, and I don't think you should be applying new laws to pre-existing structures that are there. And I think you also need to go north of Richland Street and look at the houses on the east side. There's no way. I mean, every one of them is close to the street like that. Some of them, there's one, they have room for a driveway. They had to put in the septic mound in the back, which took any of their, about all their parking space in back. So they're parking on the grass in the front. And the house next door to it, they're parking on the grass in the front, which is kind of similar to what Atkinson's were doing. And you told them they couldn't do it. But these people are still doing it. And then I also asked to the one neighbor that has really caused all this trouble, but asked to sign up what a notice that she would clean up her yard, or, you know, at least organize it or something, and then mow it. Nothing has been done, and that's been several weeks ago, and she hasn't particularly, she did mow a little, but she hasn't organized it. She's got a wall she's putting in, and I don't know what it's for, and it's right on the property line. And you need to look at that, because I think it's right on the property line where she has it. So something's wrong there. But I don't know. We've made a lot of improvements to our house, and there was no way that you could get your 40-foot setback out of us, because you'd have to pick up everything and move it. But anyway, I just think you aren't applying, you're applying new laws that fit nowadays to an old, old town that was established years ago, and you need to maybe look those up.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. I really appreciate how you're concerned about the limitations of the setbacks on improvements. And so I just want to clarify that if your house, for instance, your house to the south, if that was constructed prior to zoning or when there was a different zoning district with a different setback, you can, of course, do an addition or whatever you want to do, but it just has to be in line with that existing established setback. So not applying the 40-foot to new things that don't already meet that requirement. So, for instance, if you have a 20-foot setback, you can maintain that.
Let me add in
sorry.
The goal of this group is, it's like it says, Board of Adjustment. Mm-hmm. We're trying to adjust this. Our mission is not provided the law. We didn't write the 40-foot setback thing of that nature. That goes higher than our pay grade. What we try to do is adjust what has been done. And the effects that we have in here affects not only Bernald, but it affects the entire county. So when we look at some of these things, we try to adjust them to meet both the law as well as your specific circumstances. I've been to Bernald. I see the circumstances you're in. I just want to make sure that, you know, a lot of times these are grandfathered in, and in many cases we can meet them. For example, sir, if you're looking at an addition, my suggestion is before you dig a hole, you come talk to the Board of Adjustment. We can make the adjustments that we need to try to get where you want to be. Yeah, you are sandwiched in. The railroad's behind you. That can be difficult. So like I said, at this point in time, we're looking at this particular situation or particular request. So that
this whole area for home should fit into something somewhere.
I would agree. It should, but like I said, that's not ours. It's you know, probably planning and zoning is where it needs to go up to for that.
So you're saying that, please, I'm just, you know, my profession wasn't what you guys do, so bear with me. Now you're saying that we can build something and go with a different setback.
I'm saying if your house has a legal front setback, you got your permits, or, you know, it was built in 1890, and it has a 20-foot front setback, if you come in for a permit and you're applying to do an addition that maintains that existing legal setback, it's typically
fine. You can propose to build something that reduces that 20 feet if that's what you're setting.
So, like, in front of it. Right. Correct. But maintenance is typically accepted for these types of situations of that setback. Yeah. I just want to clarify that because I don't want to create a really big concern that we can't do any improvements.
My words to all of you, like I said, if you're looking at something, if you're looking at doing an addition, if you're doing, come talk to these guys first, because they're not trying to, you know, this is a very convoluted situation. At first it doesn't look like it, but we've got the laws we've got involved, and then new things, you look at the, they were talking about the aerial photos and the website that was off and some other things of that nature. So you've got a lot of moving parts here. So, you know, kind of stand back, let us deliberate, kind of let us do our job. So, other comments on this particular one, please? In there.
Well, my job. You could have a picture. We have that.
Any other comments? Come back from the board or from the staff.
I just want to add a few things. Any improvement that's 100 square feet or larger than 100 square feet, requires a zoning permit. So, you know, whether it's a canopy, a structure that's on, you know, four posts with a covering, whether it's an addition to a house, a shed if it's over 100 square feet, a garage, accessory structure, if it's over 100 square feet, the Story County Land Development Regulations do require a zoning permit. The Williams, what prompted this, as they said, was the submittal of the zoning permit for the accessory structure that they applied for, that was in the northwest portion of the property proposed, and the review of that. Our reviews are thorough. We look at our records to see if the improvements that show up on the aerials, that we have records for those things. So the first thing that we noticed was the garage that was in the southeast corner of the property, which we later learned that was constructed prior to the Williamses acquiring that property. You know, that's kind of what started the discussion. And then questions about really where the canopy was, you know, constructed on private property, did it encroach partly in the right of way? And that's when they decided to have the land survey done. We had communication with the county attorney's office, with the county engineering office. That improvement, they didn't cause. They didn't construct that. You know, there was some cool comments about patios, pavers, poured asphalt, poured concrete. We don't, there's not a permit requirement for that. But anything that's a structure, building or structure, over 100 square feet requires a zoning permit. With regard to comments that I had with their land surveyor, again, the canopy was encroaching in the road right away. You cannot request a variance for an improvement that's in the road right away. You can request a variance if it's a tenth of a foot, three-tenths of a foot, which is what this is, between that range. But you can't request a variance for something that's in the road, county road right-of-way. And I think the goal was to try to get a drawing that would be suitable for submittal that provided the measurements to what was actually the request. I think what other questions there were or comments.
Is the county road right-of-way there wider than average?
It is. It's 70 feet. And typically, you know, I don't work for engineering, but, you know, a standard is 60 feet, 66 for county roads. But for some reason, that right-of-way is 70 feet. We also provided information about distance from the improvement, existing improvements to the edge of the road to just to kind of give distance information. But again, as was stated by the property owners, the canopies are not actually attached to the structure of the house. They're somewhat freestanding. So you know, there are some options with that. And, you know, the way we operate is we try to give options. You know, we don't just tell people it doesn't meet the requirements, sorry, you know, you can't do it. With regard to the comment about being simple, we didn't want them to have to come back three times for three separate projects. So if that's what they're referring to, one application, one fee, and address all of the issues that we identified. That was the goal. And with regard to the three, you know, I think Amelia did a fantastic job of going through the items that we're supposed to go through. And the enclosed addition, you know, we think that they met. They fully meet all of those. But with regard to those two canopies, it's very difficult to meet all of those tests. Do you have any answers to your questions?
Who do you go to try to change the right thing? Who do you have to go to?
I guess probably when you have to go to planning and zoning. I don't know. That's it. I'd ask.
Has that ever been done? Jerry?
It's probably a discussion that starts with the county engineering, secondary roads.
Okay,
but it's part of probably what was originally platted, the town of Fernald, okay. And it was never adjusted.
Never adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think there are.
Why would all those houses that are there be so close to the? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, and quite a few of them are constructed prior to zoning, which is 1958. And so, you know, prior to a standard, they determined that the 20 to 25 feet was an acceptable distance from the right-of-way.
So in 1958, they decided to make the right-of-way wider?
No, that was when Fernald was created, platted, that was a part of the original design for the town.
How did these houses get built?
Because mm-hmm. They probably didn't have the required setback from the original right of way.
So the 40 foot is the problem, I suppose.
Yeah, that is. You know, they may have had it, who knows, back then.
Well, the streets there were probably made mostly for commercial, probably to start with, and it never did happen.
Could be.
It's like behind my place, everybody keeps saying there's no alley there, but I know dang well there's a blacksmith shop. Back there. I know there's an alley back there by the railroad tracks. That's not all railroad property.
Several years ago,
they closed all
that was
in the mall. Yes, I know. But we get out of any of that.
Before we get off too far. Let's address the Williams' variance requests.
Well, I think you need to do anything else.
Probably a very good idea. Okay, any other comments?
Well, as far as their variances, what are you requesting?
Well, we have before us their variance requests, and we have actions that we can take, as some of them are laid out. And we also, as the board, we can, quite frankly, Jerry, we frustrated him at times. We've done as we see fit. So, what we will do is, when everyone is finished commenting, we're going to close this, we're going to debate it as the board, and then we'll make a decision on what we have in front of us.
So do we have any input as far as their property and the variances?
You can give me your opinion, sir.
Okay.
Would you address the podium and state your name, please?
I'm Dale Gerbel, and I simply think that the variances should be approved. That's it.
Thank you, Dale. Any others?
I think everybody here agrees with that. As you probably noticed.
Question four?
A question. So, we've got the garage, and we have the canopy. If I remember right, what's the third item?
There's two canopies.
Can you put the picture back up?
Yeah.
The canopies and the garage.
Canopy on the east side of the house, which is the front, and then there's a canopy on the south side, and west of that is the enclosed area.
So the house is the rectangle that...
Okay. The farthest back one is an actual, like, addition.
And that addition's on there now. Was an old porch, not quite big, but there was an old porch right there. So actually that addition there is probably 8 foot more than what was on there before.
Mm-hmm.
That you're looking at now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an old porch on there.
So that's the addition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right behind. Yeah, the old shed's gone.
There's an old shed that probably abutted up against on the property.
It was an old cookhouse to go out and do their cooking.
It was parallel to the grandfather's garage, just back about probably mid to where the addition is now.
And where's the road at?
This is the road.
Okay.
And so, again, the right-of-way is 70 feet, so... From this aerial image, again, doesn't line up perfectly. This distance from this purple line here to the center line is approximately 35 feet. This garage does encroach. The supports of this have been moved back, but the eaves are still a little bit over the property line. It's not quite as dramatic as you see in the aerial photo. I think it's off just a little bit based on the survey that they had done.
So the west right-of-way line is the front property line. It's the same line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, this, to the north of the house, there's another garage, correct?
Now, I got permit for that. I don't remember what year,
2000.
And nothing was ever said about that garage that's up there when they gave me my permit.
And again, we've concluded the garage is permitted in some way. Sure.
No, I understand. So.
I didn't put this stuff up to cause problems. I didn't even.
No.
I kind of went off the garage. It was Mr. Grandfather Yen. I tried not to go past it. Well, obviously, I'd be hit on the right away. I didn't quite get that. But.
I would like to say one thing. Mr. Moore, when we first started all of this, and you told Mike to move the canopy back, you knew fully well that we did not meet a 40-foot setback, even before you told him that. So why did you not even say it cannot be there at all? You led us to believe that maybe, possibly, it could, but you deny the request. Now, if that's not manipulative, I don't know what is.
Let's, any other positive comments? If not, then I'm going to close deliberations. Board? Questions?
I have a question on the garage. That was, I guess it's the southeast corner of that area. That's the garage that is non-conforming, but is okay to stay, correct?
They did not construct it. It was constructed prior to them acquiring the property. It's been reviewed by the county attorney's office and the engineering office, and if we're acknowledging that it's not meeting the south side yard setback and that it's encroaching the right-of-way, we're not supporting it being there. We're just acknowledging that it's there.
And the canopy,
he needs a red pointer.
Yeah.
Stephanie has another one.
This is a canopy right there, right?
Yes, this is a canopy here.
And that goes right to the edge of the garage, correct?
Yes.
So that's the south. So the south side of the garage is in line with the west canopy?
The south side of the garage is in line with the canopy that's on the south west of the garage, yes.
Can I show you one copy? This is the canopy in question, which is east.
Right.
This is the east canopy. It was out here, and this is the grandfathered-in garage. This canopy was out here. We moved it back, thinking that we had made the right to, because you did say the farther you move it back, the better, and Mike said I'll move it back 3 foot. You said great. So he moved it back, and then we got it re-surveyed. So that is the etching that shows this is the east canopy. This is a roadway. And this is this correct, 35 feet from here to here, Jerry, Amelia?
This is the survey. So I guess it shows.
I think that's a little hard to read, though.
Oh. The center of the road to the front property line is 35 feet, not to the garage.
Okay. So that is really why I am so confused. When we first started all of this, never did you say it has to be, this is the property line, it has to be back this far. It does not show that. Does it, Mike?
I don't remember how to speak.
Not
for me, so...
And this drawing,
right? So this
survey,
this drawing is,
I know, and so
our survey right here is the,
yeah. So this is the survey. This is why this is the next slide. Again, here's the canopy post back behind the property.
That's after we got surveyed twice, right?
Right. And so again, this aerial image is a little off.
Yeah, and I just, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it, but I'm just mm-hmm. saying figuratively.
Yeah.
This is, we didn't. I guess I look at this, and according to our pin, and I don't know, our pin is closer to...
Yeah, it's yeah. 3 point... The garage, it looks like the eave of the garage is 3.5 feet over the property line, is what the survey says, this one says. It's this number right here.
We're going off of the actual post
yeah.
of the structure.
I just wanted to show you an aerial image so you could see what the house looked like.
Well,
I didn't want to confuse
them. Show them in the way I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But in looking at this, according to the aerial view, it looks like the property line. Mm-hmm. This is what you're saying is the property line?
Yes, and also that it's not correct.
No.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. We absolutely acknowledge that.
And this is what everything started with. This is what we used to start our reviews, aerial photography.
Sure.
And I think it's right on there that you should never use that for...
Oh, yeah, there's a big disclaimer on Beacon. Right, right. So we appreciate the service.
Okay, this is Grandpa Gardening Garage.
Yeah.
Actually, our property line is right here now.
Mm-hmm. No, it's back about 2'9" from the edge of the garage right there, about...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we moved this back.
Right.
So mm-hmm. back that is line. On the property line now. Okay? This is the canopy, east canopy, grandfathered in garage, south patio addition. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a couple questions about the canopies themselves?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me about they're constructed of lumber and...
6x6.
There's six by six posts with metal on them and then rafters. Can you tell me about, did you all construct them yourselves?
Yeah, I
helped. Sorry. Did you construct them yourselves?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and do you roughly recall the cost of materials to construct those?
Probably about $2,500.
I would say because of steel's... Yeah. For both of them, it's probably
$1,200.
Yeah. There's a picture of what I just lagged both of them, the concrete, the window blew off. And there's 6 posts that are up there. I moved these two back. I moved these two posts back because they were about right here. I brought that out, leveled the garage years ago, but when I built that, because I thought that was, you know what?
So he moved it back from here to here.
So I come up and I agree, and Jerry told me that, you know, I guess I maybe misunderstood him, maybe. I'm not saying that he's lied to me, but I went home immediately, and I had these moved that day, and I started tearing that off, and I moved all that back.
So that canopy, that's the east-facing canopy.
This is the main road.
It is not... Even with the edge of the garage?
No, it was to here, and I moved it back because my property line is about right going right through here by that post and right through the garage there.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, this might be 2 inches, whatever, inch, 2 inches, whatever. I tried to do the right thing, and even like the one on the south side of the house, I went off the garage, it was there. I didn't do this to be sneaky or get away with something. I would bring a better, you know, make a little patio or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Well, I like one.
What's that? Do me a favor. Go to our, look at the options we've got on these three variants, please.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like
to
go out there and look. You will see that that's better in Stark County than the rest of it. But improvements he's made.
Yeah.
If you vote against it, I don't know what your job is. I think we're spending way too much money for some of these jobs, but I don't know.
All right, so this is the first one. This is the 11-inch variance on a 10-foot wide
side setback for the addition. So that's not the canopy, that's an actual addition.
It's the enclosed addition on the south side of the house.
And so again, you know, we looked at the how it's improving the community, how really there's a lot of non-conforming uses in Fernald, and there's an existing garage there, but also on this one that this is a living space. It's enclosed, you know, it's on the house. That would be, you know, a hardship, a very severe hardship.
This is the smallest square,
yes.
Correct?
It was the farthest setback.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of the three yellow boxes. Yep. Whatever. This is the
smallest. Be short of the requirement, 11 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And so we recommend approval.
I would recommend, Board, we take each one of these variances separately, and we'll work them down. So this is the first one. Any other discussion? Do I hear some sort of a motion? Motion to approve.
I second.
Approve item one.
Yes.
As per the recommendation. I have a motion out of Neubauer, a second out of Brecky. Roll call vote.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye. Okay.
Okay, so the second one, this is the canopy on the front of the house closest to the right-of-way. So the biggest square, 22 by 22.
The one that's facing east.
Yes.
And that's the one that he already moved the post back.
Yes.
Okay.
So the posts slash columns are
on his property. And so that's why it's just a couple inches off.
Did you say at one point his property line was different from the right-of-way? Or the
no.
Exact
so the west right-of-way line is the east property line. It's
okay.
The same line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's zero setback.
And now the canopy is a tenth of a foot from the front property line, or west right-of-way line.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my communication with the surveyor was to work on a drawing that they could submit for a variance application. That was the goal of the communication. Because, again, you cannot request a variance for an improvement that's within the road right-of-way.
Right.
So on this one, similar to the first one, in that, you know, the garage, there's an existing garage there. This is, you saw the photos. It's a nice improvement. I think the issue that we identified that you could make a different finding on is that of reasonable return. And so without a variance, there's no beneficial use of the property. And so that's the one that staff struggled with and found that it wasn't met just because it's a patio area. If you found a different finding and made a finding and for why that was instead met, we do recommend conditions, which is alternative two, which would be approval with conditions, and you could have conditions that if the garage was removed or, this property was sold, it was removed, the canopy, or the first alternative is approval. With no conditions, and then the last alternative you'll see there is deferring it to your next meeting.
I would add that in my everyday job, a good-looking patio adds value to a property. So as far as a beneficial interest, or as far as a type of a return, I can tell you with my experience with appraisals, it would appraise higher with it than without it, as far as value. So from the beneficial interest, or from the one I would question, I think that might be a comeback to that. If not, the other thing I would be looking at is if they ever did remove the garage, then they'd have to make the adjustments on the patio, which we've done that on other instances. Those are my thoughts.
If conditions are imposed on future removal of the garage, sale of property, etc., and subsequently the good folks at Fernald determined that, they work with the zoning board to produce a different zoning rules. It sounds like the zoning rules that are present don't fit very well, and then the property is fitting in with those new zoning rules. Are those conditions removed, or are the conditions we set here?
Well, the conditions would be a part of the record, and we would prepare a document that would get recorded that would run with the land.
But I think
But if changes are made, then
and
if the conditions are no longer relevant, then the new standards would apply.
If there's new standards and they meet new standards without a variance, then the variance just isn't needed.
The situation with nonconformity, it's more common than you think. There's a lot of areas in the county where we have improvements that were constructed prior to 1958. So the way this ordinance addresses it is through the nonconforming provisions. Again, you can add on, whether it's a side yard, rear yard, front yard, as long as you're not encroaching any further than what that existing setback is. So the way this ordinance addresses it is pretty common with the way most zoning districts deal with improvements that were constructed prior to zoning. So it's pretty common.
So this, we call it a canopy here.
And that's what the assessor calls it.
Okay, so this canopy to the east, if I remember right, you said it's detached from the house?
Yeah, neither one of the two canopies, or whatever you want to call them, are attached to the house. They're freestanding.
But they are bolted to the concrete.
Exactly, because not, of course, they wouldn't go in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not being smart. I just...
No, I agree with you. I was saying the same thing.
Well, I just want to throw out there, I mean, I build in the city of Ames, and of course, the setbacks, well, maybe not of course, but the setbacks are less if it's detached. In other words, if you're going to build a garage on a house in Ames, the setback is greater if it's an attached garage versus detached. So that, not that that's of any value here, but I mean,
sure.
It feels like, in my world, it's sort of a plus that it's not attached.
Yeah, even detached buildings have a 10-foot side yard, so along the south there would be a 10-foot side yard setback.
Only the rear is reduced for detached in our zoning code.
Okay.
So. And it is probably very close to the dwelling structure, but not actually nailed to it.
I think we're all the only unique community like that in the county. Culver has their own planning zoning, don't they?
Mm-hmm. What about Shipley?
Shipley does.
It's the county.
It's the county. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe just for the sake of this or whatever, I'm building a garage in West Ames now, when it's a detached, which the setback is 3 feet from the property line.
This isn't Ames. And well, we have a two foot rear yard in the county.
This is for excessive. This is a 3 foot side yard. I mean, I just for information when we're thinking about it, I mean, because Ames seems to be very strict.
Well, if the discussion is going towards we need to be looking at different setback requirements for accessory structures, we can certainly do that. I think these standards have been in effect for a while.
That we have here. So
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the variance request for the 39-foot, 10 and 4/5 inch variance, blah, 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 with the conditions that the canopy shall be removed or relocated upon the sale of the property and or removal of the existing detached garage that encroaches on the Winchester Avenue right-of-way.
Friendly suggestion. Just say if the garage is ever removed, because if the sale of the property takes place and they have not changed, you're putting them in a position that the owner would have to remove it if the garage is still there or not. The way that's worded.
Okay. So how do I want to reword that?
Just take out sale it.
Take out the sale then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's my motion.
Okay. Here a second.
Second.
We have a motion out of Scarlett. Second out of Newbauer. Roll call vote.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Newbauer.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Okay, let's go to number three.
And this would be the same recommendation and considerations as the one you just asked on.
The issue on this particular one is the
side yard setback.
Which was...
It's 10 feet, and they require a 5 foot variance, 5 foot 1 inch variance to that, so the setback would be 10 minus 5, 1, so 4'11".
Before you folks leave, just one comment.
Yeah.
I want to, thank you for bringing it here, and I know it's been kind of a hassle, but you were trying to meet the regulations,
And if you don't bring it, we can't work with it. So thank you very much for bringing it before us. I may not like our result, but, you know, we got to communicate if we're going to change things or if we're going to do anything.
So. Are you guys doing any spraying out that way for mosquitoes? Because
I wish I hear you. Thank you. Anyway, continue. I apologize for interrupting.
We recommend the denial because of that reasonable return. If you make the same findings as you made on the other one, you could impose similar conditions, the findings about the adding value. If no new zoning districts adopt it, then they might be in compliance, that lesser setbacks sometimes apply for detached structures. Those are the findings that I wrote that you made for the last one. So
if I remember right, this canopy is south 11 inches more than the garage? So it bumps out just a little bit?
It's in line with the
south.
It's
in line
with the south.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't
think the other
line is. There we go.
Make a motion that we approve with the same conditions as the previous item.
Motion of Newberg, do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Second of Scarlett. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
There you go, folks. Now, in the meantime, so you can get your setbacks changed and that sort of thing up there. So
I'll improve
that. Mm-hmm. With the condition that if you remove the garage, you're going to have to make some major changes.
Okay. I didn't plan on ever moving.
Thank you very much.
So if they sell the property and leave the garage, then they don't have to
carry it. Correct.
So do we initiate the change in setbacks, or who does that, or do you?
We don't do that. That's probably maybe you talk. It's like Jerry said, maybe talk to engineering.
Well, if you're talking about right of way, it'd be engineering.
If you're talking about, the zoning,
about
district,
zoning, it'd be for our office.
Why don't you give us a call tomorrow? We can talk about it or stop in.
We need to get the right of way changed.
So,
do that first.
Should I contact you or one of you? Okay. Okay. I can give somebody a call.
Any other business that needs to come before the board?
I was just going to give you an idea as to what we're going to have before the board of adjustment for the October 17th meeting. The Manats construction C&D pile crushing operation that's on South Dayton on the south side of Highway 30. They're going to be coming back to request an extension. The language that we're seeing in the application is indefinitely is what they would like. To
2035
indefinitely.
Yep.
So,
wow.
So anyway, that'll be before the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment.
Is it common to grant forever?
Usually, when it comes to a use like that, there's a time period associated with it, and so far it's been tied to the interstate projects. And with the resubmittal with this request, before they made it, we asked them to provide information about future projects, and the information back with the submittal is there isn't any projects in the queue at this point. But that's not to say that there won't be. I mean, this area is certainly growing. But you know, one thing to think about that area is it's in the floodplain. So although it's in a great location because of the interchange, you know, you think maybe a hotel, some retail use. But with the floodplain, we never want to encourage uses that are permanent. So then you're looking at like maybe recreational type uses are good, or other uses that don't have permanent structures associated with them are usually appropriate. But
Question for you. Has there been any studies done? I noticed, you know, they're raising that used to be the floodplain area over there. I think it's Menards is going in there now, and Gary's has gone in. So since I've been on the board, that whole area has raised up. Has anybody done any studies on the velocity of that water when it rolls through there? And
I'm not aware of any. You know, occasionally you'll get a request for a map amendment when an improvement goes in, but I'm not aware of any specific requests to make changes there.
So back to the Manats one that's mm-hmm. coming up. Wasn't that tied originally? Didn't they say like 2035?
Well, this is for the construction material, the rock, the dirt that they're using for I-35, and I think it's got
so the,
through the end of the year.
About the west one?
No, yeah, the west, south
not Dayton. The east one.
Yeah,
okay.
South Dayton.
Okay.
And then there's crushing activity. A few times a year they want to bring in the crusher to crush some of the material that they're bringing into the site from the freeway that they're working on.
Are there any homes in that area that would be impacted by the crusher? Oh,
no.
I didn't think so, but...
No, but again, they want, they'd like it to be there permanently. They would like that to be their home for that use. Manoa Construction on the 245th Street east side of I-35. They're requesting extension. That was extended through the end of this month. We had a condition to up the restoration amount, and then you know they wanted additional material, primarily sand, to shore up their cranes so that they work on the piers. Well, they've done a lot more work on the piers, and then we had all that rain. So they're going to be back before the Board of Adjustment requesting an extension. I'm not sure exactly how many weeks or the time period, but you know they've actually started work on the actual borrow pits, working
really
on the
nice.
Grade and doing the backfilling. But we have not actually. I see it every day because I go by there.
Right.
But we haven't actually done a site review yet. The property owner is paying close attention. We've had several emails back and forth on it. But again, that'll be before the Board of Adjustment.
So if you measure that setback, the issue before was the north side of the pond, right?
It was only maybe 17 feet mm-hmm. from the, you know, before the grade changes.
Right.
And so they've done some backfilling. They need a 50-foot minimum setback before it starts to change in grade for the pond.
And then there's a required slope.
There's a required 5-to-1. So it's really a gradual slope into the body of water, and then they're supposed to continue that slope for a certain number of feet as well. So we're going to have to look at all that really close. And then the church, I think we've talked about it a few times, but I think they've actually made it, they have made a submittal, the Pleasant Grove Church, north of Ames, on 170th, for an accessory building and parking on the south side of the road. And then a few things, you know, we're working on a lot of work, program-related things. These items wouldn't necessarily be before the Board of Adjustment, but we may be bringing cases that you might look at. But the transportation impact analysis ordinance, that was a work program item. We're trying to get a better handle on what the impact of motor vehicles are when we get requests for subdivisions or commercial, industrial type development projects. So we're trying to measure the number of movement of vehicles. And so we're going to have a requirement that the applicant's engineer provide this baseline information. And then if it kicks up to a certain threshold of vehicles on the adjacent county road, then they're going to have to provide like a traffic study. So the goal is to try to figure out, you know, based on what the size of the road, the surface of the road, the right-of-way, you know, will improvements need to be made to the road? Do we need turning lanes? How are these improvements going to impact intersections? And then ultimately, you know, what's the cost and who's going to contribute to paying for the improvements? So that's a big ordinance that we've been working on. And access, we have existing ordinance for access. Primarily just trying to organized. We have access requirements for existing improvements, access requirements for new lots that are created. And what else am I missing? There's three different scenarios. So we're trying to organize that. And then the biggest thing is the definition of how far the actual access can extend past the right-of-way line. So that will be hopefully before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then all these things require Board of Supervisors action. Dog breeding, it was something that was inadvertently taken out of our ordinance that we're asking to be put back in. We've had two requests now, one for a dog kennel and one for a doggy daycare. So we're going through the process to get those reinstituted back into our ordinance. And then cabins, we had a request through YSS to add cabins to the commercial RV campground ordinance. And it got to the Board of Supervisors, and there were some questions about the length of stay in cabins. And so we're working on some language there. Home businesses, we have a home business permit requirement that are reviewed annually. And the common theme that we're seeing is more employees than what the ordinance permits, greater number of accessory buildings used, and outside storage or display. So we're trying to work out scenarios where applicants, home business owners, can request a minor extension with regard to the requirements, and then more of a significant extension with the goal of having like a transition plan. Because again, home businesses are supposed to be somewhat limited. You live in your house. These can be in rural areas. They can be in residential subdivisions. And so the focus really, or the goal, is that they be low-key, limited impact to the site, to the property. If you're meeting these requirements, your neighbors probably are not going to know that you're running a business. So we're working on really kind of ways to transition businesses that have a goal or a need to grow. Some of them don't. Some of them, you know, one person, they use the computer and the internet, and that's all they need to be fully successful in doing their business. Others, they have equipment needs, they have employee needs, and some of the stuff has to be stored. So we're trying to figure out a way that's reasonable, that can work on the site, that can work in all the different scenarios where they're permitted. And so again, that's going to be hopefully before the Planning and Zoning Commission in October. Anything else I'm leaving out? So that's what we're working on. Do you have any questions about it? There's other things too.
Any questions, Board? Anything else they have? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second.
I was panicking. I thought, no, we can stay.